Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, part of the Paramount Podcast Network. I am Mike Casazza, welcoming in the walking legacy himself, Chris Anderson. Chris, we're going to talk about recruiting today, and as I have indicated here, legacy. You said something, you said many things that have piqued my curiosity, but something in particular during one of our recent conversations on the podcast about recruiting and where and with whom West Virginia does not mess around. You really got to be careful because you don't want to ruin a dynamic that should be in your favor. And we're talking about legacy players, and those are the sons by and large. Maybe it's a nephew or grandson, I don't know. But there's a lineage from the Mountaineers of the past to a potential Mountaineer of the future. So a family connection. And we've seen a couple, and you can go over all these, that have decided to join the 2023 class. But I thought it was interesting that you think it would be so easy for a school to say, hey, legacy, come here. But also, it's not that easy. And it's a delicate thing that the schools are, not the schools, but this school that we happen to cover is particular about. So we're going to talk about legacy recruiting today. What's going on? Who's here, who may be coming here. That's kind of a fun thing to think about. But I want to start with that initial topic about why it's handled with such care here.
Well, it's interesting because, yeah, I think my comment was something about legacy recruits and in-state recruits. So let's start there, because when you look at these numbers, and you'll see certain outlets publish these numbers sometimes and just make a big list of the offers extended by school, and you'll see something next to West Virginia's name, they'll say they've offered 300 kids in a class. First off, that's not true. A lot of those are, I don't want to say, well, first off, some of those offers go out early. Some of those offers come from other coaches. Some of those offers come from other coaching staffs entirely. So as we've gone over a million times, anybody that's followed the recruiting game, there's offers, and then there's committable offers. Committable offers being ones that are legitimate from the coaching staff. And then there are the ones that actually get the scholarship offer, the official letter, the paperwork that you sign that makes everything official. So there can be 300 verbal offers, and some of those, again, not real. Sometimes it's just recruits getting confused on what's said. You know, a coach says, hey, we really want you to come here. And then the guy says, well, that's an offer. It's like, well, I mean, we want you, but doesn't mean it's an offer. So you get down to about 100, and then, but there's never any confusion, or rarely ever any confusion, when it comes to legacies and in-state kids, because this staff, as the previous staff did as well, credit where it's due, of course, everybody that's come through here, they are very, very clear to legacy recruits and in-state players, whether they have an offer or not. They will wait longer than usual a lot of times before they make the offer legit, because they don't want there to be any doubt at all. They don't want any bad feelings, none of that stuff, because those are relationships you don't want to burn. Those are bridges you don't want to burn. So you will see, if you see an offer go to a legacy recruit, 99 times out of 100, it is a legitimate offer. You know, got to make sure of things beforehand, because there was one last year that wasn't. But it's they don't mess around with those kind of legacy recruits.
I understand completely. I'm not sure everybody would practice the same consistency that West Virginia has, as you mentioned, across 10 years here now, too. So it's common here. How common is that across conferences and across the country, Chris? You know more about this than I do, but is this a unicorn, or is this something that's maybe a little more common than I'm giving credit?
I think legacy thing is legitimate everywhere. I don't think any school wants to, quite frankly, piss off, former players, former greats, guys who could be potential donors. You don't want to do that. As far as the in-state aspect of it, that's probably more unique to West Virginia and other schools that are in states with less talent than the bigger schools. Like, I mean, what's Miami going to care if they, make some kid mad up at, Tampa Catholic or something like that? Like, they don't care. They'll move on. They'll get another guy. So I think maybe when you get to that, maybe it's more city specific for those bigger states like Florida, Texas, California. Miami doesn't want to make Miami high schools mad. They don't care about Tampa, or they don't care about schools up in northern Florida or something like that. But so to answer your question, yes and no.
Perfect. And imperfect.
Yes.
And no. West Virginia reels in a couple here. How hard do you think it is for a kid to be recruited by and ultimately commit to the school where his father, his uncle, his grandfather played? How hard do you think it is for a kid to pull the trigger and become a legacy commitment?
I think there's some pressure in there. I wonder how much they think about it during the recruitment portion of things. I think maybe it builds after they get on campus, because then it's like, all right, you're here and here are your expectations. Your father was amazing. Your uncle was amazing. Your grandfather was amazing, whatever. Now it's your turn. And we've got to get there quick. So I think it builds after they get on campus. The actual initial recruitment and commitment, I don't think is actually that difficult. I think they get excited about it. I think a lot of these kids, you talk about, oh, who'd you grow up rooting for? What's the school you want to go to? These kids grew up going to that school, going to West Virginia for games, going and visiting, hearing about how their dad did this and their uncle did that and everything else. So they grew up a fan of West Virginia, and to have the opportunity to go to the school that they've grown up admiring, I think it's probably pretty easy. It's when they get to campus and now it's like, okay, time to produce, that it gets a lot more difficult and they get more put on their shoulders than your typical recruit in the class.
How about the decision-making process? Great points there about once they make the decision, they go. But let's be honest, people can be mean. People can be crazy. Fan is short for fanatic. If, for example, a Torrey Johnson Jr. announces that he has an offer from West Virginia, he's going to get an outpouring of support from West Virginia fans who know his dad liked what he did. But there's going to be people who, I don't know, let's say they root for Pitt, Maryland, or UVA of late. And they're going to say, well, you only got that offer because your dad went there. And it may be not like that with everybody, but there are going to be people who say, well, he got that offer because his dad was really good there. His dad played there. His dad went from there to the NFL. Can that work against kids sometimes? Do you sense that dynamic is, I don't know, can it be used against a kid? And can a kid sometimes get to thinking about things that other people might say? Because let's be honest, social media is terrible and influential in ways that are probably not intended. And I just think about this sometimes, that it puts doubt and questions in a kid's mind where all they're trying to do is say, hey, something cool happened to me at a place that means a lot.
I don't think there's any doubt that people say those awful things and probably mostly on social media, since everybody has the, safety net of being anonymous. Usually they'll say mean, terrible stuff like that. But I also think this goes back to the reason that West Virginia is so careful with legacy recruits, and they want to make sure that these are legitimate, committable offers. And that's why, because at any time for any recruit, and there will be some trainers, some coaches who will tell them this, oh, you have an offer from there? Okay, call up the coach right now and try to commit. See what happens. And the kid, what? Do it. Call them up. Say you want to commit right now and see what they say. And that will tell you if you have an offer or not. And I think in these situations with these legacy recruits, West Virginia, again, wants to make it clear, because they are going to hear that. They are going to hear, oh, you just got that offer because your dad went there. And then it's like, okay, call up the school and see what happens. And West Virginia's like, yeah, great. We'll let you into class. Can I pop up a let's go tweet? Got any GIF recommendations for me? Great, let's do it. And that's, again, that's why they're so specific about it with them.
Can you imagine what people would say on social media about someone who used the word GIF?
Excuse me, GIF? Is that what I'm supposed to use? There you go.
No, you say GIF, but you wouldn't make a mistake like that, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is there a science to recruiting these kids? Because I wonder sometimes when, I don't know, let's just say a Noah Bram, he gets the phone call and hey, it's Neil Brown. I'd like you to come in here. I don't know. I wonder if it's enough. And I wonder if a kid has to say, I know why you're calling me. My dad was an All-American there. My dad played in the NFL and announced that he was from West Virginia before a game. So this could be anybody, not just Rick and Noah Bram. But do you have to do more? Is the work sometimes already done and you're just icing the cake? Or is it like everything else and it's completely case specific and one is never like the other?
I think it's somewhat case specific, but there's also, I would think with a lot of these guys, they are, again, like every recruit, every kid that's trying to play at the highest level, they think they are the best. They are the best. They have been for most of their life, the best player on the field. And so I think part of how you recruit these legacy guys is to just recruit them like they're recruits. You know, you don't treat them differently in a lot of ways. You want to recruit them just like you would recruit everybody else. Be like, hey, we are recruiting you. We are not recruiting your father's legacy or your uncle's legacy. We are recruiting you and your playing ability and what we think you can contribute to this program. So I think it's important to make that distinction to the players. I mean, of course, it brings a little extra. You have a couple of extra things you can do. I think it did mean something that Neil Brown himself offered Noah Bram right in front of his father, right there on campus. I think that meant something. I think it meant something to Torrey Johnson Jr. that he got to commit to Neil Brown right in front of his father and his mother right there in the office and have both of them, you know, understandably get very excited in the office with Neil Brown. But for the most part, you just want to treat them like other recruits. You want to treat them like we are recruiting you and not your father's legacy.
A strong move on the commitment thing with that you mentioned about Bram and Johnson, isn't it?
It really is. I think, again, those are the tweaks you make for legacy recruits, but everything else stays the same. But yeah, it's pretty strong. I mean, Neil Brown walking up to you on campus in the middle of a 7-on-7 right next to your father and being like, hey, here's an offer, you're in if you want it. That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. It's small world stuff that there are three in the same class. It's very small world that they committed the same weekend. Anything to that, or is that just a coincidence? Like, did they coordinate this so much that three guys could do something really cool, or did this just happen to be where the chips fell on this one?
I think it kind of mostly coincidence, because I think once you get to the final weekend, they're setting it up to be a big weekend. They want to finish, you know, go out of the dead period or go into the dead period strong, and so they set this weekend up as a big commitment style weekend. And you know, they planned in advance to have Johnson and McIntyre here, and then the Bram thing, you know, that was kind of all natural. Like this week, it just happened during camp. I mean, I'm sure he was on the radar. Like, I don't have any doubt that he was on the radar before this week, but his camp showing, not only on Monday at the one day camp where he tested amazing, but then a solid showing at 7-on-7 where he showed his ability to get open as a tight end but also play linebacker, I think that played a part as well.
Let's wrap it up here with a bit of looking ahead. We're spending this time looking back and looking ahead. Well, I guess we'll kind of do that a little bit, but instead of talking about, you know, players whose dads played here, let's talk about dads who played here, who may have kids. We don't even know the identities of all these people yet, but you think about, for a lot of, I would say, prime generation fans when it comes to West Virginia athletics, people who are in the cycle and have been for a while and presumably will be, or people who are new to the cycle because they were hooked on something at some time. You're thinking of a certain era of football, and it's probably like 2004 through, what would you say, like 2008?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking at these guys here that we're just talking about.
It's like a solid 5-year period there, right?
Right, and yeah, because again, the guys we're talking about just committed this class is around 2000. In that range. So then you go a few years later than that for the upcoming classes, and I see where you're going here.
You're talking 14, 17 years ago now. I'm not saying every one of these players that was a star or had great talent on those teams has a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kid right now, but you get where I'm going. Many of them have had kids, and they have great genes, I'm sure. They're in the pipeline here. We talk about the South Florida pipeline, the Georgia pipeline, you know, Southern Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, wherever West Virginia gets or has gotten talent before and may want to in the future. Man, there's nothing like from the alumni base, right? How cool could this be in the future? Because Bram's a bit older than the elder McIntyre and the elder Johnson. Not an old guy, just that he just happened to play before them. Johnson and McIntyre are kind of this era that we're talking about now, where they're adults, they're old enough to have families and to have children who are going through the recruiting process. There's going to be more of these. There already are, and they are marquee names from that era here. I'm just kind of glowing thinking about it. I do feel a little bit aged knowing that I covered these new recruits' dads, but I probably should get used to that because there are more coming here. And I mean, I'm not saying they're all going to come to West Virginia. There's going to be battles here, but there's certainly some talent in that pool.
Yeah, I mean, I've sent in an entire crate of 23andMe tests up to the football facility for them to pass out to everybody else so I can figure out exactly who's coming up in the next few years. But you already got two kids of two of the greatest players in at least offensive players in West Virginia history that are immediately come to mind. First up in the 2024 class, Noel Devine's kid, Andre Devine. He's at North Fort Myers, puts up big numbers, very athletic, great testing numbers, just like his father, a bit small, 5'8", 155 in our database right now. I think that's accurate. I believe that's from a recent camp like this spring. He's already gotten three offers, FAU, Alabama A&M, and Marshall. So moving in the right direction, if you're getting those kind of offers as a 2024, that which means based off of right now, you're finishing your sophomore year in high school. And you're getting those offers, you're trending in the right direction. I wonder how high his ceiling is given his size. I mean, again, his dad was that small, but his dad was what, one of the greatest high school running backs ever. So you have to really put it up there to get there, but he's on the right trajectory. Then of course, there's a guy that we've talked about and I saw at camp earlier this summer who could literally be a clone of his father. And that's Chris Henry Jr.
Just makes you laugh watching it.
Yeah, like he looks like him standing still. He looks like him playing the game. It's absurd to think of him as being a 2026 recruit, a 2026 recruit. That means he is finishing middle school right now. He's finishing eighth grade, just finished eighth grade, going into ninth grade. Did I get that right? Yeah, ninth grade, 2026, 2025 sophomore, 2024 junior, 2023 is going to be a senior. So he just finished middle school. He came up to camp, and when they split at the end for one-on-ones, they typically send, hey, freshmen and sophomores, you guys go over here. Juniors and seniors, you go over here. He started out with the freshmen and sophomores, and one of the coaches was like, are you kidding me? Is this a joke? Get out of here. Brought him over to the juniors and seniors, and then he just sat there and embarrassed juniors and seniors. It's hard for me to wrap my head around an eighth grader, a guy who just finished eighth grade, just absolutely dominating rising juniors and seniors during one-on-ones. But that is exactly what he did. And that is exactly why he's already got offers from Ohio State, Miami, anybody you can think of, he's going to have offers from. So again, that's not going to be some surefire legacy coming back to WVU kind of thing. He is going to be a top 50 overall recruit. Like, I'm talking on the verge of five-star status, maybe even like, I mean, we're far out, so I'm really projecting here, but as the route he's going, the path he's taking, that's where we're likely going to be discussing him in a couple of years.
And he's been adopted by Adam Jones too, correct?
That is correct. Who was accompanying him on the visits. I mean, he's everywhere, but it was cool seeing him walking around WVU football camp. Oddly enough, giving all the other coaches a hard time for, hey, your salary. So you got to get a nice boat and a mansion on Cheat Lake. And all I'm thinking is, didn't you make like $100 million in the NFL? What are you joking on them for?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it there, too. Pac-Man's always been his own man, so good uh-huh. man there, too. Listen, a lot to look forward to here. We've talked about how cool the work that the coaches were putting in would be this month, and we've seen it come to fruition. Well, years down the road now, too, you see these long-term relationships between an older player and his university turn into something, and it could be a kid who commits. We've seen it this past week with a couple more, and we'll keep our eyes down the road in the future on legacy commitments. Until then, and that's many, many years from now, I probably should think of a better way to wrap it up. How about this? Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Mike Cazazza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
Talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.